Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s niece, Alveda King, is our very special guest today on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead, the director of communications for Liberty Counsel. Welcome to Faith and Freedom, Alveda.
Good morning, Matt and Holly.
Welcome.
And to the listeners.
We've been friends for so many years, and two of your children graduated from Liberty University School of Law when I was dean there. I had the pleasure of seeing them go through all 3 years and graduating. You have just been a voice across the country, frankly, around the world, for the sanctity of human life, and you have that significant heritage going all the way back to the late Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. You are an advocate for the sanctity of human life, but how did you move from where you were to where you are now?
Well, you know, I write about these experiences in many of my books, How Can the Dream Survive, America Return to God, King Rules, and the upcoming 21 Keys to Unlock Your Spiritual Gifts, King Truth. So the quick way to explain that is this. In 1950, my parents conceived me. They were engaged to be married. Mama wanted to finish college. My granddaddy, Martin Luther King Sr., said to her, you cannot have an abortion. They wanted to do a legal DNC, which was supposed to be exploratory with no questions. But he said, I saw her in a dream 3 years ago. She has bright skin and bright red hair, and she's going to bless many people. So that really, my pro-life journey began at conception. I was saved from abortion. I was tricked by Planned Parenthood in the late 1960s and early 70s, and I had one abortion and didn't know it was an abortion. The doctor said he was just exploring, but he was affiliated with Planned Parenthood, and we didn't know Planned Parenthood was bad. And then I chose an abortion after Roe versus Wade passed in 73 on my birthday, January 22nd. So from then on, I was post-abortive. I had a miscarriage because of abortion damage. In the mid-70s, I became pregnant after a divorce. My grandfather, I was going to abort that baby, and I would have done that based on propaganda from Planned Parenthood. But my granddaddy said, no, you can't do that. That's my great-grandchild. So I was already the mother of one living child, two abortions, and a miscarriage. I had that baby, and you know that baby, Matt.
Yes.
Ed Beal, who graduated from your school. I was born again in 83 and became pro-life. And that's when I began to ask all those questions. A woman has a right to choose what she does with her body, but the baby's not her body. Where's the lawyer for the baby? How can the dream survive abortion? That's the short story.
And, you know, one of the things that you said, because you came and spoke at the law school when I was dean there as well, and you know, it's just amazing thinking about what you just said, that I know one of your children. I know two of your children that actually graduated from the law school. And those children, if you had believed the lie of Planned Parenthood, would never have graduated from law school. I would have never had the opportunity to know them or put the hood on them and grant them their Juris Doctor degree. So it's just amazing. You have mentioned many times that the new civil rights movement, or part of the civil rights movement, is to stand for these children who can't stand for themselves, to bring them full liberty and rights to the inalienable right to life.
Well, Matt, you know that I support school equity. Some people call it school choice, but school equity. Let the parents help find out what's best for the children. You know, I support marriage between a man and a woman as the most stable and godly institution that will help us to raise healthy children. However, the very first civil right, it's logical to me, has to be the right to be born, the sanctity of life. And abortion goes against that. And so I learned that through the years. I've supported that. My son, Eddie, always used to say that he wanted to be on the team that brings down abortion. He still feels that way. So many of my children support me in this ministry, in this faith. And so it's the most pressing civil right because it's the first civil right. If we are denied the right to be born, that's why we say, where's the lawyer for the baby? And everybody says, well, the baby's not human. Well, science says the baby's human. God says the baby's human. Logic says the baby is human. So we have to consider not only science and law, but certainly God.
Wow. You know, Alveda, when Margaret Sanger started Planned Parenthood, as we know, her primary target was to eliminate the African-American community. How are you making a difference in that issue now?
Well, Holly, Matt and I have had long conversations about this, the main legacy of the King family. And that's not just Martin Luther King Jr. It goes back seven generations. And there again, let me say one more time, you can hear about that in my writings and my books as well. And also, I'm director of Civil Rights for the Unborn. You can learn about it there. It's the love of God. And so with the love of God, we can begin to open our hearts and minds to the reasonings that we are discussing. And so I can only encourage the listeners, if we love each other, Martin Luther King Jr. said that, my uncle. He said, when we value the human personality, we won't kill anybody.
Wow.
So the human rights, the civil rights, the women's rights, all of that, they all begin in the womb.
Yeah, if you don't have the right to life, then all other rights are illusory. They're meaningless because that is the ultimate right to life. If you don't respect that, then you're not going to respect anything else. And you do come from a long legacy, the daughter of Reverend A.D. King and Mrs. Naomi King. It's just amazing, the legacy of the King family. But what you are doing now through your writings as Director of Civil Rights for the Unborn, for Priests for Life, you're a former Georgia state legislator, they're a frequent author. You recently also were in the nation's capital, and you came up on the platform. I saw you. I wasn't at that meeting. I had just arrived with President Trump and Vice President Pence when that religious liberty executive order was signed.
I was there, and it's so amazing. That has happened now with the president several times. The day after he was inaugurated, I was at that cathedral church service, and he stopped, and he spoke to me, and then he came back, and he spoke to me again and said he enjoyed seeing me on television and the things that I was saying. And then we went to the African American Museum, and I was his guest, and he called me up to the podium, and that was a surprise because that was not scripted. And it was somewhat scripted for me to be on the podium at the Rose Garden with the Religious Freedom Executive Order, but it was a total surprise when he turned around and gave me the pen. And he said, in honor of Martin Luther King, I'll give you the pen. And I was like, my goodness, and I do have that pen.
Have you framed that yet?
Yeah.
I'm not framed it because I still like to pick it up, but I
can't. Maybe you could put it in a shadow box that you could go in there periodically and pick it up. That's what we're going to do. I mean, that's a historic pen. That is a significant pen that was used to sign the Religious Freedom Executive Order. And I saw the president, after he signed it, turned around and he gave it to you, our friend and our guest.
He really did. And Reverend Paula White got the one about the freedom of speech. But, you know, President Trump, for many reasons, I supported him, I voted for him, but he won my heart one time when he was running for office, and he said, and we will say Merry Christmas again.
Yeah.
And I remember jumping up and down and just said, yes!
And, you know, he did. I mean, this past Christmas, you remember the speeches that he gave before he was president? He became president before the inauguration? Just amazing.
Yes. I do.
You know, Alveda, I'm so encouraged just to get to know you and to think about, you know, the women and the men that have been a part of abortion in their past life, have had one and regretted it now, and see how God can change a heart and use that. So
well,
thank you.
Our guest here is, unfortunately, we're out of time, Dr. Alveda King, former Georgia state legislator, director of the Civil Rights for the Unborn, for Priests for Life, demoted mother and grandmother, guardian of the King family legacy, the daughter of Reverend A.D. King and Mrs. Naomi King, and the niece of the late Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
And the book, America Returned to God.
America Returned to God. Also, you have King Rules, yes. Many others as well. So I encourage you to Google her name, Dr. Alveda King, and look at her books. America, Return to God is one of her many books. I encourage you to look for those books, download them through Amazon, whoever else, order them, and follow the writings of Dr. Alveda King. Thank you so much for joining us on Faith and Freedom.
Thank you.
For more information, you can go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. That's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. Call us at 407-875-1776. Become an active partner of Liberty Counsel. Visit lc.org.